Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is truly the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the final Sunday in March, but it begins a new unit. We're just going to continue our studies out of the book of Romans. All right. You guys know I have the top-notch administrators on this Zoom call, so you can't perpetrate a fraud on this Zoom. Our administrators will get you; they know how to do it. But certainly glad to have everybody. As you know, today is traditionally what we celebrate. In Christian Orthodoxy, Palm Sunday. And I know many of you probably searched through the Family Church School lesson today, Steve, they were trying to find, but what about Palm Sunday? this whole unit has been dedicated to this week leading up, all the lessons leading up to the day. It really gives us a real good look at what that Palm Sunday was about, because what it says is that just as Paul wrote in chapter one that he had to go to Rome because he desired to share the gospel, Sister Taylor, and because the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. And right after that, discourse, verse 18, 19, he goes from chapter one all the way to chapter three and concluding in verse 23 of today's lesson to tell us how miserable we are and how little hope there is. But we can all be, and we all know the story now. But for all of those who were waiting for the Messiah and for all of those who saw him parade in on Palm Sunday and they are singing their praises and hallelujah to him, they got a glimpse at the fulfillment of what God had already promised. And that promise was that you did not have to suffer eternal damnation. But if you listen carefully these last few weeks, Brother Bogan, at the end of last week, when it says that sin is ugly, sin is universal, and sin is undeniable, I'm telling you, that's enough to put you in, you want to go into your closet and say, is there any hope? What then? The same hope that has always existed since man fell in the garden, that same hope still exists today. And it can be found in today's lesson. The authors have entitled our lesson, The Righteousness Through Faith, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. And it's going to take us a couple of verses to get off the doom, but you got to have the doom and the gloom in order to get the glory that is to come. And that's the picture that Palm Sunday leading up to what we call Easter Sunday. That's the picture, and actually Easter Friday, that Friday leading up to that. That shows us that no matter how much despair there is, no matter how much doom there is, there has always been an answer. I want y'all to see this today. As a matter of fact, I want some Bible readers. Sister Gwen Thompson, stay on. Mr. Brown, stay on. I'm going to have me some readers this morning. Because what I want to show you is that the gospel, Paul came telling us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that this gospel isn't something new. It was something that was proclaimed in chapter 3 of Genesis. We're going to talk about righteousness through faith. It's a great day, and it's a great day to know that after all of sin's depravity, all of sin's pervasiveness, despite the universality and the ugliness and the undeniability of sin, Brother Key, there's hope. And in that hope, it's the same today, yesterday, and until Jesus comes back, it'll be the same. We concluded last week's lesson by saying that this will shut your mouth. The word of God is clear. The revelation of God is clear. You are a sinner. And Paul in verse 10 says, because there are none righteous. And one of the ways that you start healing from spiritual AIDS, which is called sin, is you gotta acknowledge the sin. You gotta say, I'm not right. And I concluded last week by saying, it's me. I'm not right. And I can say that unequivocally because the word of God says that. And I can say that about you because the word of God says that. But some of you will not believe me that God has always had a provision and a plan to make men right again. Even though Paul is declaring in Romans 3 that there are none righteous, and he's going to tell us in a few minutes that we're not right because we are alienated from God, because sin separates us from God. Those of you that are in basic doctrine, you better take notes. This is hermeneutology 3.5 here. For if there are none righteous, if I'm not right, here's what the lesson does for us today. It tells us how we can be right. God Almighty, that God has a plan to make us right, to bring us back. There were none righteous. That means that Abraham wasn't right. Isaac wasn't right. Jacob wasn't right. Nehemiah, Habakkuk, Daniel, Isaiah, none right. And that means that we were all in our unrighteous state, alienated, separated from God. And then we ask the question, well, how can I be made right? How can I be made right? But most humans ask that question, Sister Gwen, by thinking that they can do something. Did you guys hear me? You think you can do something. As a matter of fact, the doctrine of works is the most deadly doctrine ever perpetrated on man, Sister Ogletree, because men believe that they can do something to get right. And I tell you unequivocally, the word of God from Genesis to Revelation disputes that. And in this particular passage today, we're going to see how is it that you can be right. If I'm alienated from God, if there's none righteous, how can I be Would you believe me if I told you that Job asked the same question? If you believe me, you can shake your head or just give me a thumbs up. Or say, nah, Brother Snead, they didn't have no gospel. But the gospel, I'm telling you, has been preached and taught and believed, Sister Ethel, ever since the Old Testament. And even though we've spent this time talking about the law, we determined last week that the law doesn't keep you from sinning. As a matter of fact, the law almost ensures that you will sin, because the law was the standard in which no man could keep. Sister Gwen, if you would, turn your Bible. You got your Bible. You turn your Bible. Turn your Bible to y'all, because they don't believe me. They won't. They don't stop believing, Steve. Job 9. Job chapter 9. I told you, there's always benefits, basic doctrine, from being in Deacon Snead's class. Job 9. I see Sister Burris smiling. I don't even see her, but I know she's smiling. She said, yeah, I got that. A meteorology, 3.5. Sister Thompson?
Yes, Job 9.
Read verse 1 and 2. Matter of fact, just do 1 and 2. That'll be good enough.
Then Job answered and said, truly I know that it is so, but how can a man be in the right before God?
How can a man be right? Job, who is said was a righteous man, Steve, had to ask the question, how in the world can a man be right? And if Sister Thompson was to keep reading, she would show you that Job says, when I look at God and all of his capabilities, his omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, the things that he can do, his righteousness, his holiness, there is no way in the world I can be right. So I've got to cry out. Job had to cry out. How can a man be right? Mm-hmm. But there was an answer. I don't have to go to the New Testament to find the answer, because Sister Gwen, tell you what, you're doing a good job. Can you go over to I think it's Habakkuk, not Chewbacca, but Habakkuk. I know Steve will try to mess you up. Habakkuk 2.
Which verse?
Okay. I tell you what, why you get in there, Habakkuk 2. I want you to read 4, but I had to send you to Habakkuk so I could give Steve this softball. Steve, I need you to go to Genesis chapter 15. Steve, our superintendent. Okay. Now, what we've heard Job, and normally, Sister Randall, we don't look to the book of Job to be talking about the gospel and salvation. But God, but in the book of Job, that chapter 9, Job tells us why we need salvation, why we need righteousness, because Job admits there is no one righteous. Okay? Now, Steve, chapter 15, verse 6, what does it say? You have to unmute, Steve.
It says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Wait a minute. Hey, guys, I normally don't trust guys from Waycross reading, but if I heard Steve right, you know what he said? He says, Abraham. Do y'all know who we're talking about? We're talking about the book of Genesis. Abraham was considered righteous because he did what? See, he did what? He believed.
The Lord.
He believed. In other words, Abraham got saved the same way that you and I get saved, by faith. Trust in God. Sister Gwen, Habakkuk 2, verse 4.
Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live faith. But the righteous shall live by his faith.
The righteous shall live by faith. That is the same scripture, Sister Pillow, that's quoted in Romans 4. Mm-hmm. It says, if you're going to be right, you got to live by faith. If you're going to get right, you got to have faith. So righteousness is obtained by faith and faith alone. It's not something you do. It's something that's already been done. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And so when you see Jesus approaching Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he's about to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He's about to do for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Habakkuk, what they could not do for themselves, for every man, because every man was not right. He was alienated. All right, my reader for the day. My reader for the day, I don't see Sister Key. Do I see Sister Key? Sister Key, I need you for my reader today. Sister Key, if you're there. Unmute. I don't. Okay, she's Sister Gwen. Oh, sister, hello?
She's on here somewhere. She hasn't unmuted yet.
Oh, okay. Sister Gwen, pick up for me and read. I want you to read the first three verses there. Okay. 21, 22, and 23.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
The reason why we all need salvation is because there are none of us right. And so today, what we're going to do, we've established now unequivocally through reading the word of God, we see that all have sinned and come short. And that if all have sinned and come short, all have missed the mark, all are not right. And if you're going to stand in the presence and in unity and in communion with a right and holy God, you got to be right. That's why Job asked, how can I be right? I just want to be right. You know, I don't know what Steve and Tyrone Davis and all of them want to do, but I just want to be right. And I want to be right with God. And so, since we are sinners, and therefore it puts us positionally as unrighteous, in order to meet the standards and the approval of God, we got to be right. And Sister Gwen has just read for us that we, as long as we have sinned, as long as we as long as we have sin in our lives, we miss the approval of God, because God does not approve sin. Loves the sinner, hates the sin. And so, like Job, like Steve, like Gwen, like Cora, like Dorothy, like Barbara Clayton, we all got to ask, how can I be right? Every yearning from every human being should be, Lord, I'm not right. How can I be right? And Paul said, on my way to Rome, I'm going to tell you. Sister Key, are you there now? Verse 24.
I'm here.
All right. Verse 24 and 25 for me right quick.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past.
Doing fine. Doing fine.
It's okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Doing fine. Doing fine. Not right, but doing fine. But here's how it can be right. Paul says here that you can be right by accepting the grace that has been given through Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ is approaching Jerusalem, when Jesus says, Steve, I've got to go to Jerusalem because it is in Jerusalem that I am to give the gift of grace that would justify, that would make men right. So in other words, Sister Ogletree, it's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus has already done that justifies mankind. So there's not something that you can do. It's already done. Yeah, they didn't hear me, Sister Pillow. It's not something that you can do. It says that you have to accept that which was given freely. It was free. It was free to you, but it cost Jesus his life. And as he's approaching Jerusalem on what is known as Palm Sunday, he knew that his mission was to justify, to provide a remedy for the missing of the mark of all mankind, for the sin of man. Sister Key read, says, whom God has set forth as a propitiation. Sister Burris, take a note, because that'll be on the test. See, propitiation is satisfaction of God's just wrath. It was God that set Jesus as a demonstration. It was God that marched Jesus toward Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, because Jesus was the perfect lamb. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that would satisfy, that would be a propitiation for God's just wrath. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, I see you smiling, Sister Dorothy. Brings back them days of basic doctrine, doesn't it? In other words, that Jesus did for us freely what we could not do for ourselves. And that's called grace. And grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor is something that you don't work for. It is a free gift. And Sister Key has told us that God set Jesus up as the perfect demonstration to show us. He set him before the world to show us that God is perfectly just, we are unjust, and that the only way that we can be made right, the only way that we can be justified, is if we accept the free gift. Oh, I'm so happy this morning. Oh, I'm so happy. The clouds got happy. The clouds are thundering over here in my area. You know, because Jesus the Christ is the perfect propitiation. He's just not a partial. He is the only one who could satisfy. He is the only anthropos. He possessed the anthropological characteristics that would satisfy man. In other words, he satisfied man's sin, Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, Adam bought sin, and that sin is now imputed to you and I. Jesus Christ came, and that righteousness, his righteousness is imputed to us. Sister Key, verse 26 and 26 on.
Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
It says it's a free gift, but notice that it's a free gift, but a gift with condition. And the condition is you got to believe.
Amen.
You got to have faith. Sister Gwen Thompson already told you, Habakkuk 2 told you, the just shall live by faith. And in order to be just, you must trust and believe in Jesus Christ. This justification and righteousness is synonymous. When you accept the fact that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down here and walked up the Via Della Rosa for you and I, got on a cross with nails in his hand and in his feet, pierced in the side, then put in a grave, and then had the audacity to get up. Unless you believe that, you are not right. You can help the Boy Scouts of America, the Girl Scouts of America. You can be the leader of every drive there is to feed humanity, clothe humanity, care for humanity. You can do. But God has not asked you to do. God has asked you to believe. Matter of fact, I know I got Bible on my side. Sister Pillow, Sister Taylor, I see Sister Clayton, Sister Ethel, Sister Ogletree, they could help me out because they've been the basic doctor. They will tell you that one day that the disciples were sitting around and they were saying, what is it that we can do to work the works of God? And you know what Jesus told them? That you believe. That you pistis. Said you don't do anything. You gotta believe. And the object of your belief, the object of your faith has gotta be Jesus Christ. You've gotta trust in the work that Jesus Christ did on Calvary. You gotta believe that. And when you do, you'll be made right. So you're alienated by sin. You're separated from God by sin. Sister Gwen Thompson has said that there's none of you right, that there's not even one. And so it makes us, it compels us to ask the question, what can I do to be right? And Jesus, Paul now answers with a clear picture of Jesus the Christ. He says, you don't do anything. You believe. You want to be right? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived, died, and resurrected, and lived like he lived, died, and was resurrected. Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. If you believe what Christ has done, then you'll be right. And everybody knows that the justification, that the righteousness, Sister Paulette, that righteousness is a positional one. And it takes one who was lost in sin, who had missed the mark, and was now not approved by God. He moves from disapproval. He moves from missing the mark to approval by God. And it's done simply by belief. Thank you, Sister Key. Thank you, Sister Gwen. Brother Seeley, if you would unmute Brother Seeley, and just tell me something in verse 27, because I want to show you that even though you are alienated by sin and you are accepted by grace and grace alone, unmerited favor, that which Christ done, I want to show you something else. Brother Seeley?
Brother 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith.
It says, okay, since it's not by what you've done, it's not by you keeping the law. See, you keeping the law is what you would do. If it's not by that, then it's by faith. How can you boast? How can you say, I pull myself up by my bootstrap? If you could keep the law and you can't, we've proven that in the previous chapters. That's what makes you unright, righteous. But if you could, it would still be only through the help of Jesus Christ. He proved that in 3:22. You've got to trust Christ. It's all about Christ. It's not what you do. It's not how much scripture you learn. It's not that you keep all the 10 commandments. Because you could keep all the 10 commandments and you still would not be right. Because you can't keep the one, because if you break one, pick the 10. Any of y'all even come close to the 10? Come on now, all these spiritual folk. Hey, Bobby Key, I'm telling all these spiritual folk. You know, you got Shirley Key, you got Gwen, you got Barbara Clayton, you got Nancy Taylor, you know, you got Dorothy Pillar, Seeley, Boga. Now, some, you mean to tell me nobody on here can keep all 10? You kept all 10 from your childhood on. You've kept all 10 and you continuously to keep all 10. Oh, okay, wait a minute. You got saved and now you keep all 10. Just raise your hand if you do. Oh, no takers. Yeah. Scaredy cats. You know why? Because you know there are none righteous, no, not one. And on your best day, you have to ask for forgiveness of sin. We're talking about sins there. Because what happens is that once you accept Jesus Christ and righteousness is imputed to you, you become dual. You have two natures, the old nature and the new nature. But that old man, a lot of us feed him and feed him well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people say, don't let the real you know, wait a minute, let me find me a name here, somebody who got a mic. Dorothy Pillar, what's your middle name? Dorothy Pillar.
Ann.
What's your middle
name? Ann. Ann, A-N-N.
Uh-huh. See, Dorothy Pillar would say, don't let the Ann come out. She's keep the Ann squeezed in there in between. Don't let Ann out. Ann is that old nature. But here, Paul clearly shows us, and my attempts today to show you that man has always had to accept believe God, and in that belief, he is justified. He is made right. Mm-hmm. And that outside of that belief, anything other than that belief, it won't work. But see, verse 28, right quick, as we get ready to go, 28 and 29, right quick.
Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Hear me.
Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also.
See, Paul had already said that all have sinned. And so if all have sinned, the prescription for being made right, the prescription for being made right is for all people.
Mm-hmm.
Not those who, not those religious folk, those folk who do religious activity. Your religion will send you straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
God wants a relationship with you. And he says, the way to have that relationship, the way to have a right relationship, a positional relationship with the one triune God is by faith and trust in the one triune God. Can't get it no other way. But yet it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for the preachers in the church. It's not just for the deacons in the church. It's not just for the choir members. The same requirement is for everybody. And when Job asked the question, how can a man be right? And Habakkuk answered him some hundreds of years later by saying, the man is made right by belief, by faith. And Paul comes hundreds of years later writing to the city of Rome and saying, yeah, I know there's a lot of perversion. I know there's a lot of sin. I know there's a lot of depravity, but you can be redeemed because Jesus the Christ has died on a cross so that your sins would be remitted, and that your sins, that redemption would occur. In other words, that there would be a remission, that would be a Passover, and all that sin that you've done and will do, can ever do, has been taken care of on Calvary, if you believe. And the only condition is belief. He didn't ask you to do nothing. That's why Paul could write to Brother Titus later on, my 102 instructors, when he wrote chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It ain't about what you do. It's not about your titles. You are made right with God by accepting the grace of God. And that acceptance only comes by faith in the object of every man, every believer's faith, that's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he says that it comes, righteousness comes by grace, but it's assured by faith. Celia, take us on out, 30 and 31.
Then it is one God which shall justify circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
Here's what he says. He says, don't get it twisted. Everybody is justified. Everybody is made righteous the same way. Dolores Ogletree is made right the same way that Paulette Lovelace is. There ain't no difference. You can be different ethnically. You can be different nationally, you can be different age-wise, but we all, just like Job and Abraham, Habakkuk, and all of them knew that righteousness came through faith. Ogletree, Lovelace, Gwen, Seeley, Dorothy Pillow, they all gotta come the same way. And that grace, that justification is for all. When he says circumcised and the uncircumcised, that means the Jew and the Greek. Mm-hmm. He already told you in chapter one that the gospel is for everyone, the Jew first, but also to the Greek. But that Jew first, that's chronological. The gospel was always intended for every man because every man needed. The only way you can get right is that God provides it. And God has provided. See, the only real righteousness is the righteousness that God has provided. Y'all don't hear me this morning. That stop trying to do and be. When don't tell folk, here's what you got to do. Now, here's what you got to believe to be right. Here's what you got to believe. See, because when you start telling them what they need to do, you'll tell them, well, you know, you need to get you a suit and you need to come to church every Sunday, you know, and you need to get you this kind of Bible and that kind of Bible. No, God says, just believe. Trust in his son and you'll be made right. Job, I hear you out there. How can a man be made right? Job, who couldn't even see Jesus, knew one thing. I can't do it on my own. There's someone greater than me. When you look to man for salvation, there ain't nothing that James Bogan, Steve Harmon, Bobby Key, Gwen Thompson, Cor Randall, Dorothy Taylor, Dolores Ogletree, Ethel, Sister Holly, ain't nothing they can do to get you right with God. You gotta believe. And this morning, we've shown that even that belief is a gift. Mm-hmm. It's grace. You don't even deserve it. Mm-hmm. You deserve something else. But God is willing to justify you. In other words, act just as if you had never done anything. Do you realize that Steve Harmon stands in the courts in the presence of God boldly, and God treats him just as he had never done anything? Mm-hmm. And it's only because of one thing, because of his belief. It's certainly about what he's done. Because you start examining what he's done and what he's capable of doing, you'll say, God, how can he be right? But God, he showed us there in verse 25 and 26, God set Jesus up as the perfect demonstration of his love for us, the depth of his love for us, and how far he was willing to go to show that he was just and that he could justify you and I. Mm. Verse 31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? And Paul says, God forbid, surely not. Yea, we established the law. In other words, the law just shows you that you are a sinner. Mm-hmm. But within the law is the teacher. It says, now that you believe, the law teaches you what that is all about. But every time you think you get above that you are right, that you really got it going on, the law is that mirror that shows you, you ain't everything you think you are. You forgot how you got here. And every time you try to exclude other folk, you know, oh, they're not fit for service. You are not fit for service. Isaiah puts it this way, Isaiah 55, we're nothing but filthy rags, our righteousness. So unless you put on the righteousness of God, in other words, God's righteousness is provided and must be worn on a daily basis. Did y'all hear me? Righteousness comes through faith. That's all Paul was trying to say. That's all I was trying to convey. I was trying to convey to you, convince some, and convict others that righteousness really is through faith in Jesus Christ. So why did he have to go to Jerusalem? Why did Paul need to go to Rome? It's because God sent them purpose. Righteousness was more important than Jesus's equality with God. Your salvation, your justification, your righteousness, the righteousness of God that he had for you and me was the reason he went to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. God bless you. God keep you as I pray.